Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And we're very pleased to have with us a gentleman who was on this program just about 1 year ago to this day. I will never forget his first day at the office. He walks across the street and plots himself right in the same chair he is to say, "Hi, Rock Hill, I'm here to be the new interim president of Winthrop University." And, of course, I'm talking about Dr. George Hine. Doc, how are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fine. Things have changed a little bit in that year, haven't they?
Your hair and my hair have gotten a little bit grayer.
Oh, I know that, Manning. I'm absolutely positive of that. I remember last year very clearly. We hadn't heard anything really significant about COVID. It was my first week or two on the job.
Well, before we get into that,
yes,
tell everybody just a little bit about your background, sure, which is quite extensive.
Sure. Well, the Cliff Notes version are I'm a clinical child neuropsychologist by training. I was at University of Georgia for 24 years. I had a research position there and was funded by the National Institutes of Health to do research on brain development in children that had reading disabilities and hyperactivity and other forms of developmental learning and behavior problems. Did that for 24 years. Left the university to pursue a career in higher education administration. And held pretty much every position you can imagine, from dean at a couple of other institutions, Purdue University, Arizona State University, provost at the College of Charleston, president at a university in Michigan, and now, of course, I'm the interim president here at Winthrop University. It's been a great career, I have to say.
Well, now, true or false, have you ever had a more interesting year than the one you just had?
I keep thinking every year is interesting, but this one is an absolute capstone.
So you were in the office, what, 3 days or 4 days or 5 days before this whole pandemic broke out?
Well, you know, we'd heard, I think all of us had heard about it being talked about at the national level, you know, in January, February. But March, really, everything kind of hit the fan at that point in time. When I arrived here, we had no inclination on March 2nd that we'd be closing the university and going remote. But sure enough, on March 15th, I had to basically send everybody home and all of our instruction transitioned to being remote. Our staff started working at home. And frankly, we finished off the semester and certainly the summer as well.
That was quite a pivot.
It was an incredible pivot. And it wasn't so much of a challenge for the administrators, because we continued to do our job. We continued to come in on kind of half work schedules, but we worked remote. But the faculty, in fact, they're the ones that really had to bear the pivot, because for them, they had to transition their in-person classes to being online. And for some of them, they were not as prepared for that maybe as they could be. But they rose to the occasion. We finished the semester well. And we, over the summer, a number of our faculty took some training courses, education courses on how to improve their online offerings. And then, of course, in the fall, we went back to in-person learning again with quite a bit of remote coursework as well. So it's been a heck of a ride over the last year.
So right now, as we sit here on 2021, on March the 24th, are we back to regular classes or is it still a mixture?
Well, you know, the governor had essentially three phases, phase one, phase two, and phase three. And phase two was where we spent most of the fall and certainly this year as well, where 50% of the workforce is supposed to be in the office at any one period of time. That's probably too much detail, but the bottom line is our instructional program primarily delivered online, although we do have a number of hybrid courses, particularly in areas where you have to do an internship or you have some hands-on experience. So it's been more of a hybrid where we have a lot of online, more in-person, Right now, we're finishing off the semester. We only have 6 weeks left. And once we finish this semester, we'll have in-person commencement, which is everybody wants to know about that. So graduation will occur. It'll be in person, a little bit different. But next fall, we're planning on an absolute full house, full residency. All our professors and everybody will be back on campus full time. And we'll be back to as normal as we can possibly be.
God willing, and the creek don't rise.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, that's good news. So we ought to be back to normal next fall.
Well, we'll be back to as normal as we think we normal can be. We're obviously going to be paying attention to guidance from DHEC, the CDC, health experts. I think the best bet at this point in time is, yes, we'll have all the students back, all the faculty back in their offices, staff back in their offices. But we'll probably still be requiring masks. And we may be doing social distancing. We'll have to see. And we will probably require students, when they come back on campus, to have proof of being vaccinated or a negative test for the virus before we let them back on campus.
That makes a lot of sense, because your students are coming from all over the place.
Yes, they
all
do.
All over the place.
Yep.
And when you, as a, I can't believe I'm asking you this, but as a university president, you must, at night, when you turn on the evening news, shudder to see what is going on down in Miami Beach at spring break. I mean, you, Winthrop, you try to avoid that situation by doing a day per week.
Yeah.
But, my God, you must go crazy when you see that.
I think what we see on television is just nothing short of an absolute stunning misbehavior on students. I am surprised that more universities and colleges and high schools didn't do something about their spring break. We all knew that if we let the students go, that they would go out, enjoy themselves, probably not wear their masks, they'll socially gather, but they would bring the virus back. And I can tell you, last year we had spring break. It was remote, but the first case we had on campus of COVID was after spring break. And it was from a student that went on spring break.
Oops.
So this year, we were very intentional. Yes, we'll have spring break. Those 5 days we're breaking up. So we will have what we will call spring break days scattered throughout the semester. So in other words, there was not a week where the students would all leave, go wherever they're going to go and come back.
What kind of feedback did you get from the student body when you made that announcement?
Well, yes. I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, part of the experience of going off to college is, I won't say to party, but certainly to gain friendships, be exposed to others, have the experiences of traveling, maybe going someplace different, getting to know other people. And spring break is probably a pretty well-established American tradition. Our students were disappointed, but I will confess to you, I was surprised at how accepting the students were of our canceling spring break. They kind of knew it was coming, and so when we actually made the announcement, they were right there. They expected it.
So when you look back over the last year, you mentioned that you had that one COVID case right after spring break of 2020. Mm-hmm. How have you fared during the course of the year as far as COVID cases?
Well, it's interesting to me. First of all, we fared very well. We've actually had fewer COVID cases on campus than a number of our other university colleges. But like our compatriots across the state, both the research institutions and the comprehensive universities, the rate of positive testing on campus has been surprisingly low. And I think the fact of the matter is you can't be on campus and be with other people unless you're wearing a mask. And two things have happened. One is that the rate of infection on university campuses, generally speaking, is lower than the communities in which the university resides. That's, I think, point number two. And I think the other point is that there's, I think the students are acutely aware of the fact that if all of a sudden they go out, party, bring the virus back, and it gets out of control, they're going to go remote again. So there's a consequence out there that they've been trying to avoid.
And I would think, I'm pretty sure, that now that they realize that this virus can kill young people as well as it kills older people, That's got to be somewhat of a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, yes, there's certainly that, but I think a number of our students have also, in conversations with them, they understand that they may have the virus, but if they go home and infect their parents or their grandparents, that is a responsibility many of them don't want to be carrying on their shoulders.
Now, needless to say, Winthrop University, like every other university across the country, has had a pretty serious financial impact as a result of this virus.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have room and board, whatever else the generators of revenue for you have been eliminated. And you had to write a bunch of refund checks, millions of dollars of refund checks. You got help from the government through the PPP program and whatever else.
Right.
So what is the state of the state, as best you can make it easy for us to understand, in terms of your financial situation right now?
Well, I think, Manning, you've highlighted it really well. The fact of the matter is when we sent all those students back in the middle of the semester in the spring of 2019, we had to give refund checks back to those students for unused residence and dining hall credit that they would have had. So that cost us immediately quite a bit of money. I think a lot of people don't realize that we have several sources of incomes at the university. One is the support that we get from the state. Number two, tuition. Tuition pays for basically most of things on campus. But we also have what are referred to as auxiliaries. And our dining halls and our residence hall and some other things contribute as well to our financial well-being. So when the students are not living in the residence halls and not paying for residence, living, and also dining, that's a loss to us financially. So we were impacted pretty severely by the fact that we had to send everybody remote, as all universities were. Now, the federal relief programs that have been provided have certainly helped us bridge the gap. And at this point in time, we're going to make it through this fiscal year, I think, in pretty good shape. And we're looking forward to what we would consider a more normal financial year moving forward. Now, we have had to make some tough decisions. One of the decisions we had to make were some budget cuts. We cut about 10% of our budgets. We also had to institute a furlough plan. So most people on campus took 20 days of furlough. That hurt. That really caused, I think, it really had a negative impact on our morale. But we're coming through this crisis. We're going to be in much better shape next year. And I think we can come back and address next year some of the issues that we wanted to address this year. So looking forward to moving into the next fiscal year.
Well, as my dad used to tell me, we have nowhere to go but up. And I would say that's pretty much the situation you're in right now. But what impact do you see in terms of the whole general educational process? We have taught a group of students for a year that we can now get an education at home. And you all have gone a lot of online instruction now. You can do all kinds of programs at Winthrop online. Do you see that as a growing alternative for people who are trying to deal with this whole thing about expense of going to school?
Well, that's a dynamite question, and I think one that's on the top of everybody's mind. A couple of quick thoughts on that is that, yes, our students went from having primarily in-person classes to being totally online. That caused all kinds of challenges. Some students didn't have internet capabilities at home. They didn't have Wi-Fi. They didn't have computers. We addressed that by and large last year. We're now moving forward in trying to get back to more in-person classes like we had in the fall of 2019. But what we have found is some of our faculty have actually enjoyed teaching online. Some of our students have enjoyed being online for their courses. But I think that for the majority of our students, they're looking forward to getting back in person. Having said all of that, there is a high likelihood that we're going to be offering in the future, not next year so much perhaps, more online coursework. I can tell you our graduate enrollments, this is an important point, where we're offering a lot of online coursework has actually increased 17% last year. We have more graduate students taking Winthrop University graduate courses than any other comprehensive university in the state.
Wow.
That means more graduate students at Winthrop than College of Charleston, Francis Marion, and so on, Coastal. So I think there is a hunger for online options, particularly among our graduate students, but I suspect among some of our undergraduate students as well.
But on that same line, what are you seeing about enrollments to actually come back to a real university setting, live in a dorm, eat the meals at a cafeteria, you know, go to the class?
Well, we're paying very close attention to enrollments. I think something people may not be that aware of is the number of graduating high school students that have indicated that they want to go off to college has actually decreased across the country over the last few years. So we're going to be competing with a smaller number of high school students that want to go to college than ever before. So what that means is the competition for students is tough, and at the same time, it appears that students are applying to fewer colleges nowadays. Where they used to apply to maybe 10 or 20 institutions, now they may be only applying to three or four. So pretty much across the country, fewer applications, and enrollments are probably going to be down for most institutions, except the major research universities that have football programs, especially if they're winning, are going to be down probably 3 to 5% at many institutions across the country, including Winthrop.
So when you work on your budget for fiscal year 21-22, you're already factoring that in.
We're factoring that in. We always have a buffer. We always budget very conservatively. So we're always happy when we have more students that we're budgeting for or anticipating. But yes, we do take that into consideration. Now, that's not to say that we're not redoubling our efforts to recruit students, tell them the Winthrop story, doing unique and different things that maybe we haven't thought about in the past. But all the universities are doing that now.
We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week prepared right before your eyes here at Substation 2. Anybody who's anybody knows exactly how it's done. We're going to bellow it out together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke, those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Hey, Charlie, what's new at Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. George Hind is with us today. He's the interim president over at Winthrop University, a job he will hold until June of next year. Is that right?
June 30th, 2022.
Okay. All right. So I forgot to ask you one other question about the students. We keep hearing at the K through 12 level that the performance, the academic performance of the students just isn't what they want it to be, like it is in a classroom. Do you have any feel for that at the university level?
Yes, I would say that what the high schools and the K through 12 environment are experiencing, we've experienced to a degree as well. Particularly for those students that, it's interesting for the sophomores, juniors, and seniors that had already had a college experience. They had had that first year, that freshman year, so they knew what college was all about. They seem to weather the storm a little bit better, but for the freshmen that came in, they may have finished their high school virtually, and they were coming into college, living on campus, but then taking a lot of courses that were either hybrid or were online. So I think for those students, they experienced a little bit more difficulty in managing that transition. The other part about it is that we have traditionally, I mean, all universities do, and Winthrop does a particularly good job, is that we offer academic intervention.
Sure.
We have tutors that are available. We have academic advisors. We have a counseling center. So we offer a lot of services to students normally. And yes, we did see that students were using those services more frequently than in years past.
All right, let me switch gears with you. You've got your last Board of Trustees meeting. Mm-hmm. You all approved floating a bond of $23 million or something
21.
To do a bunch of stuff.
Right.
Cliff Notes version about what all this stuff is.
Well, I appreciate the reference to a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
We probably want to add a little clarity to that because we want to make sure the public knows what we're doing. First of all, Winthrop University is 135 years old. A number of our buildings were built in the 30s, the 40s, obviously the 50s, 60s, and so on. So they need constant repair and renovation. And so the bond was initially developed, and those discussions have been going on for well over a year, to mainly pay attention to some of the renovations that are needed. For instance, part of the money that will be generated from the bond will go to completely repair the roof on Lee Wicker, one of our residence halls. Phillips Residence Hall, not only will the roof be completely redone, but all of the residence hall rooms will be redone with new fixtures, new facilities. We will also be upgrading our internet capabilities, our Wi-Fi on campus. So we're paying attention to a lot of the infrastructure. Now, also part of the discussion that we've had regarding the bonding and what we might do with that money is that we want to pay particular attention to the Thompson Cafeteria. Thompson Cafeteria has been there since day one in the residence hall. Fact of the matter is it may be getting to the point where we need to build a new dining facility. And so that was part of the discussions about the bond. Now, I will say in connection to that, in addition to other revenue that we need to direct to the infrastructure at the university, we have launched and will be announcing more detail about it, a campus master plan process. Excuse me. Where we will be taking a look at our campus facilities and studying them in depth. We'll bring some consultants on campus, and we'll be taking a look at our facilities, what needs to be done to maintain them, what do we need to do that's different to meet the changing needs of our students, and what's a 10-year plan, 20-year plan on changing our facilities, number one, to keep them up to date, number two, to meet the increasing demands from our students.
Yeah, because you're going to have some competition here this fall. You got a brand new development called The Nest, which is right across the railroad tracks. And, you know, kids today want the latest and the greatest, so I got it. I understand. Now, Burns Auditorium has been under a multi-million dollar renovation. Mm-hmm. What is the status of that?
Well, without going into detail that are confidential, I can tell you that we are continuing to negotiate and have discussions, fruitful discussions, I might add, with the insurance carriers that are involved in a final settlement. It's been very complicated because there are so many different insurance carriers that are involved in those discussions. But I will tell you, one of my aspirations for my interim presidency is to reopen Burns. So I am hopeful that in the near term we may have some announcements to make about that.
All right, and then you've had work being done as well over at the Coliseum, which I was not aware of. Is that underway now?
Well, we are moving forward in working on the roof. There's some leaks in the roof. I mean, I think anybody who owns a house understands that you need to take care of the infrastructure.
Right.
And we've had some leaks in the ceiling. And as you can well imagine, that's not really good when you have volleyball games and basketball games underneath that roof. So we're going to be doing some significant work on the roof.
Well, I thought it was very interesting. Kudos to Winthrop University's men's basketball team. I mean, what a season, 23-2.
Unbelievable,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry they didn't get any further at the tournament, but that's okay. But it was interesting. On that last game, I was listening to it on the radio and also catching a little bit on TV. But when the radio guy said, "Hey, that's David Tepper over there," I said, "What now? How did that happen? How did that? Did he just happen to walk in there, or did he get an invite from the president?"
He was there as a guest. We were very, very fortunate to be able to have him come and visit and take a look at our basketball team. I mean, we are incredibly proud of what the coach has done, and the players especially. I mean, Coach Pat Kelsey is just, he does not have a peer. He is just an exceptional individual as a coach. And I think the fact that our players had to win the Big South twice to go to the Big Dance is a real testament to not only his coaching, but certainly to the fortitude, persistence, and absolute commitment of our players. So we were very pleased to have David Tupper and certainly his wife there. And that's right. We were thrilled that they were able to see. I did have a short opportunity to talk to him during halftime, and we're just glad that he's visited. They are part of our community now. So having them here really represents, I think, the opportunities that they have and we have to partner in helping Rock Hill develop further.
Well, what they're doing that was basically going to transform Rock Hill as we know it today is just remarkable. Well, and, of course, wouldn't you know you'd have this stellar season when none of the fans could come to any of the games.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just awful. But there again, I mean, that had to be another financial challenge for you because you didn't have the revenue from seats.
That's true. And ticket revenue is a very important part of our athletic budget. We weren't able to have it, but I think next year's looking real good.
Well, you know what? I could go 100 different directions right now, but we have 20 seconds left in the program, and so I'm going to have to say I got to stop. But Dr. George Hine, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for coming across safely across Cherry Road to be with us today on our Straight Talk program. And that's going to wrap up our show for today. And, of course, we'll get you back over here again, hopefully sooner rather than later. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments of Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Of course, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical formula that's done here that everybody in the world knows, but we have to remind them day after day after day after day. It's pretty simple. Count to three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.